Welcome to the Professional Website Investors Podcast, the show where we talk about what it takes to successfully buy, operate, scale, and sell a thriving e-commerce business. When it comes to doing business online, we believe that buying an existing website is far superior to building one from scratch. So, if you're a career professional who is looking to become an e-commerce store owner, listening to this show will give you the knowledge, tools, and community support you need to be successful.
I'm your host, Ryan Cowden. And this week, we're joined by Ian Bond from ProfessionalWebsiteInvestors.com. In this episode of the Professional Website Investor Podcast, Ian and I discuss some of the best practices that will build trust with your clients and increase your chances of making more sales. There are many paths that lead to website investment and physical goods e-commerce. People who jump into this field are more often than not looking to make a change or supplement other ventures they have. Which is to say, we all come to this work with skills and experience, but that doesn't always include sales. Operating with a functional level of sales skills will make your job a whole lot easier. Presenting yourself well, understanding your buyer, and knowing how to close the deal are all essential parts of e-commerce business. Fortunately for us, Ian Bond is a career salesman and is opening up his bag of tricks for us today. In this episode, you'll hear what your priorities should be when making a sale. These would include building trust, educating your buyer, and reducing perceived risk. Next, we'll discuss what to put on your website to communicate legitimacy and authority to your customers. Your most visited page will probably be the About Us page, so start there. You can also display badges from organizations you belong to, video testimonials, shipping and returns policies, and more. Then, we'll focus on the content you need to address buyer doubt. Make sure you have great-looking product pages, tell stories, and try to address buyer questions before they can ask them. And finally, we'll talk about how to engage directly with your buyers on the phone in order to close the deal. Train your virtual assistants to handle questions and concerns, but always be ready to jump in yourself and talk to your clients to ease any other concerns they might have. If you're looking for a way to build your sales knowledge and close more deals, this is surely one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Ian Bond. All right, Ian, welcome back to the program. How you been? It's good to see you again.
Ryan. I'm doing great. It's good to see you. And I'm excited to talk about this. Today's topic has some personal perspective and meaning for you, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm not far along in my journey into freelance work and getting into online investing. So, I think I'm more on the creative side. I like working on the content and I like sure. the tech diving in. But when it comes to sales, I have zero background in sales. I don't know what's going through the buyer's head and getting into that interaction with them. I just don't know what's going on or how I should be acting. So yeah, these are kind of really personal questions for me, you know.
So it would be fair to say, I'm guessing, and by the way, I think you're far away in the majority of people out there. Okay. I happen to be a career sales guy.
Okay.
But I think far and away you're in the majority. I think, you know, selling anything, including selling yourself like you are, is daunting, right? No one wants to feel sleazy. And I actually think that with regards to physical goods e-commerce sites, there's so many things that you can do that the site can do for you that you don't have to do. And so it's actually a lot easier than selling your own services, to be honest. So fire away.
Okay, good. Yeah. So, you know, for me, it's like I'm trying to get inside the buyer's head. You know, I want to know what's going on in their mind. And from your experience in sales, you know, what are their questions? What's popping up in their mind that might keep us from closing the deal?
Okay. Let's start at the beginning, or the presumption, okay? This episode of the podcast is going to presume that you own a website, or if you're listening, that you plan to, and you want to maximize sales. Okay?
Right.
And let me just add, and I think this is crucial, You may have a trepidation for sales, but for sure, you probably want to minimize personal phone time as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, the idea of working, of owning a website doesn't mean you're, you know, picking up the phone at all hours of the day or night. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I think one of the biggest pitfalls that website investors fall prey to is that they underestimate the requirement to actually get on the phone.
Hmm.
And so, when you're looking at niches, I think sellers are pretty smart. They underplay how many times they actually close things on the phone. So, I want to tackle this head on. Let me just tell you that our strategy is now, very much that we are going to tackle more technically sophisticated niches where buyers need lots of information. So this is a very big deal for us. And, you know, we're raising our game here. So this is something that's really timely right now. We're tackling this right now. Okay. Just also to set the stage, remember that in high ticket drop shipping, you know, our demographic is, you know, kind of upper middle class buyers. These are folks that will pull out a credit card and spend $1,000 if we can hook them. They're not, they're not allergic to doing that. They are people that are knowledgeable shoppers, and they are people that are, going to be fairly demanding, sometimes outrageously so on the one hand. So, you want to bring your A game. And so, I'm going to give you a few suggestions on how to, prospective buyers and newer buyers, investors should think about this. The way we approach it is essentially, what we're trying to do is on our website is to build trust, to educate people, and also kind of to reduce the perceived risk of a transaction. So if you think of a triangle, those would be the points on the triangle. So here's the kind of the first thing, and this isn't going to require you to get on the phone with anybody. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this should be right up your alley. Okay.
Great.
and this is really just the site basics. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, we've said before that most people are intuitive online shoppers. You and I can look at websites and probably 90% of them we agree, ugly or good or somewhere in between. We, probably get a sense for it. And so that's one of the great opportunities. But let's just talk about some of the site basics where you can do the three things that I said, which is build trust, educate buyers and reduce perceived risk. Okay. Kind of the first place and one of the places a lot of people will go to on a website is the About Us page. Okay. Mm-hmm. If your story is that as a girl, you grew up on a farm around horses and you competed in shows and now you're in the equestrian niche, helping other people that, have the same passion that you do for horses access world-class equipment. You've got a great story. Mm-hmm. You're somebody that I already trust. I can't spell equestrian, but you have, your About Us page is someplace that can be compelling and help you a lot. And everyone knows it's the, kind of one of the most visited places on any blog or website or any place. Okay.
Mm.
Also, this by the way, the same is true for the Why Buy From Us page, which a lot of people are using. And by the way, most of these the newer versions of these are going to video, and I think people can pretty much tell when you're using an actor. So it may take a little bit of courage to get in front of a camera, get over yourself. Everybody, I could certainly use to lose a few years and a few pounds. And I say too many ums and ahs. and, you know, just do it. Just, you know, get it done. But you know, about us, we're buy from us and think video, because that's the direction it's going. You can imbue a lot of trust and tell your story there in your own way.
Okay.
Now let's go to some other things, you know, on the site that are just what I consider blocking and tackling. Trust badges, Better Business Bureau. Industry badges, like the National Kitchen and Bath Association, NBKA. We sell on a platform called House. I've mentioned it many times. It's the green badge with the weird looking H. Funny enough, people trust House. They should. It's, you know, kind of rocked the whole household world, because it combines designers, decorators, suppliers like us, and they provide a lot of comfort to people that aren't necessarily savvy at buying on websites. And we find that people that come to us directly, even though we have the House badge on there, that it kind of imbues that we've been, you know, at least House thinks we're good people. So that's a good one.
Great.
Now, for social proof, you'll see more and more on-site testimonials. If you're going to a site that doesn't have two or three, you know, kind of headshots with a testimonial from Jan in Arizona or Ryan in Indiana or something like that, talking about their experience, harping on the free shipping or the speedy delivery or the great customer service, the awesome value, you're going to see more and more of that going forward. You should have that. A lot of people use other social proof, things like Facebook pages, Facebook likes. They engage people on Facebook. We do less of that because big ticket drop shipping doesn't have, you know, that big. People that go to Facebook to look for, you know, kind of the things that we sell that are household things that are more boring things. But I do think Pinterest, for example, which is much more visual, is house like in that visual thing, and, you know, gets people accustomed to seeing it. And by the way, the something we're going to talk about later, which is retargeting and remarketing, is something that you can do through, particularly through Facebook. One of the big things on your site has to be your return policy. Okay. So, you have to have a return policy. It should be spelled out. You should also have a shipping policy, that spells out kind of what the shipping terms are, so that people have a reasonable, estimation of when they're going to receive something. And when you update your inventory, you know, if you have to handicap when someone might receive something, that's a good thing. You know, on our sites, we have, if bought today, you can expect to receive during this window.
Okay.
And, you know, that's something that helps people. You know, a lot of the stuff that we sell is for home remodeling, and people have contractors and they have deadlines and all that stuff. So that's helpful. In a certain price range for a certain type of buyer. The niches that we're moving into, which are more custom niches, higher price niches, you know, that's very much a negotiated conversation.
Okay.
And I think people expect that too.
Okay.
But if you have a contractor or a designer waiting for something to be delivered, you're under the gun, and you could be, you know, very inconvenienced if something doesn't come quickly. And one thing that might be counterintuitive based on what I said earlier is you must have a phone number on your site. So now you may not want to talk to people, but you must have a phone number. We use Grasshopper. People call, they get a wonderful recording, and we ask them to leave a message and their email address. And we get a transcription within moments of when they leave it. If we're free to call them back right away, we call them back right away. If they've left their email, we'll email them as quickly as we can research their question. And if we can keep the conversation on email, we will. However, we'll always do something that I'll talk about later, which is, you know, if we have a big sale on the line, we'll get some personal intervention, but I'll talk about that in a minute. So the first thing, site basics, you know, that's about 10 things that I mentioned that are site basics that, you know, Ryan, you don't have to talk to anybody yet.
Right.
Okay.
So, right.
No.
Why do you,
it shouldn't be too intimidating to get those things right.
Right. Why do you like to keep conversations on email as opposed to phone?
For a couple of reasons. First of all, people don't answer their phones. I don't answer my phone. So if you're calling somebody, they see a weird number, they don't answer it. It's just hard to get people on their phone. We've experimented with Facebook Messenger, email still for most people, seems to work really well. It lends itself well to fairly detailed answers too.
Okay.
And, so if we're if someone's calling about something, we can jot off a really quick email. Hopefully they can get it fairly quickly. They certainly can find it, but it's just hard lots of times connecting with people.
Okay.
By the phone. And then you get into this thing where you play phone tag. And if we're not picking up the phone, it can frustrate the person that's calling. So we do try to convert people to email, if at all possible.
Okay.
That's a great question.
That makes sense because you're probably working with people from different time zones across the world if you're doing e-commerce. So it's going to be hard to get on the same time. Yeah.
People are busy. Just is what it is. If there is a need, we'll certainly make the phone call, and I'll talk about that in a second. But particularly for preliminary stuff, we try to train people to use email.
Okay.
First of all, a lot of times if there's a technical question, we're going to have to call back later. So if we have it on email, I don't really want to disrupt, kind of our people and the flow of what they're doing for a, out of left field question. So.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to dig in? Yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you the second thing that I think you can do without being intimidated, being a creative, and this is going to be right down your alley.
Okay.
And it's called content. Okay.
Hmm.
And on our sites, we strive to have the best content available. And I'm going to break this down for you in a second. But this will effectively position us as authorities in our niche, people that you can trust, people that you can go to get judgment and information. We're not Sears, we're not Walmart, and we're not Home Depot. Probably none of the our demographics, shops at Sears. Maybe, I don't think Sears is around anymore. Walmart, not so much. Home Depot, though, in the household space still has people, and they've got, they do have trunks. So what do I mean by content? Whether it's our product pages or the pages that we call collection pages or the pages for the brands that we represent, or the things in our learning center or our blog, we want to be the best in the internet on all of those things. So let's just talk about that for a second. Yeah. So on a product page, what does best in the internet mean? Well, it means, a incredibly well-organized site that has as many of the things that any customer would want when they, go to the site. Mm-hmm. It's going to have manuals, it's going to have descriptions, it's going to have high resolution products, it's going to have product pictures, it's going to have high resolution, what we call lifestyle pictures, which is the product actually in use someplace.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things. And of course, we're going to have call to actions. If there are variants, different colors, different sizes.
Right.
Although we tend to each product tends to, in our world, tends to be identified by one size. Although if there's different sizes and they're exactly the same product, mm-hmm. we can create that kind of a product page.
Okay.
So whether it's a product page or it's a collection page, there's a story that we want to tell people about the brand. There's a story we want to tell people about the collection. There's a story we want to tell people about the item that they're looking at, the heritage of it, the functionality of it, mm-hmm. the benefits they get if they buy it. And, also, we want to address any of the reasonable questions they may have. So we want things dimensioned out there. Last year alone, we commissioned 500-ish product videos. And this is, you know, product videos, which are, or collection videos, which were, you know, a minute and a half to 2 minutes long. Mm-hmm. Mostly we narrated over slides, since we don't have the products. Mm-hmm. We narrated over slides. Works great. People shop on phones. They can watch a product video on a phone, just like they watch YouTube on a phone. Mm-hmm. People consume things in different, you know, ways.
Yeah.
And video is one of the ways. Okay. So obviously, we have as much text as you can imagine. As a matter of fact, we look at the competition, and if the competition, and we know what those best sellers are from any supplier, and if the competition is at 300 words on bestseller A, we're going to be at 500 words. We're going to have a better description, and we're going to have more brochures and as many pictures as we can get our hands on. And we're going to put our trust badges up there, and we're going to put our video up there if we have a video. We're going to try to have, you know, kind of best in class on the internet.
Okay.
I actually was just looking at one of our products that we just updated today. We've made it into the number two ranking on the internet, and, and I'm sure we're going to make it to the number one ranking on the internet. And right before the podcast, I saw that we just sold one. So,
oh, wow. Okay. Oh, that's great news. Congratulations.
So we got lucky. So for items one and two, site basics and content, you should not worry at all about your phobia of sales. But I got a little bit of bad news coming, because on number three, on my third suggestion to address buyer doubt and to close more sales, is that we have to have reactive engagement. So now someone has come to the site, and they may have just come, or they may have actually abandoned a cart. And so if they've abandoned a cart, we have a abandoned cart sequence that everyone gets, where we do several things, and there's a science behind this, or at least there's a theory behind this. And it, you know, the theory is to engage people, it's to educate them, it's to build trust. And our last resort, you know, to be honest, is we'll offer a discount. Okay. So I hate discounts. Don't want to give discounts out, but you know, if I got to do a discount, I'm not going to do it on the front page of the website. That's really cheesy. I'm going to do it on the very last deal email in our abandoned cart sequence.
Okay.
I mentioned this earlier, but if you come to the site and we can remarket or retarget to you through Google or Facebook, this is another form of reactive engagement.
Yeah.
There are studies that say that people need to see a product 7 or 8 times before they buy it. I will tell you, one of the things I'm proudest of is I've seen over the last couple of years, the branded search. When I look at our Google Analytics, our branded search, which says that they've typed in some variant of the name of our of one of our websites, and they come and purchase something from us, that means that that some of that remarketing is working.
Okay.
Some way, shape, or form. We're not sure that Google can track this stuff perfectly. You know, if a wife sends an idea to his husband on his phone, and then he types it in, I don't know how Google captures all this stuff.
Yeah.
But if it shows up that somebody, you know, in the branded search column, you know, for our, you know, some variant of the name of our site, you know, we feel good about that. The final strategy in my reactive engagement pillar is, we do have VAs reach out to customers to see if there's any way they can help. Our VAs are very well schooled in our products. If you know, they will try to, you know, answer the easy questions, and we then will follow up if we get any kind of an open door, but you know, maybe the VA couldn't close it. We will follow up with a sales manager call.
Okay.
And so if at all possible, and you know, as I mentioned earlier, we're going into more information intensive niches, things maybe that have a bigger B2B component, mm-hmm. things that are certainly much higher dollar ticket. So things that are $5,000 and up. Mm-hmm. And we are, you know, we're working actively on strategies to employ that, you know, find a sales manager or find mm-hmm. a high ticket closer yeah. that, you know, to solve that equation, because we think that there's a lot of value in that and that we can, you know, that we actually can dominate that. Now, if we could, you know, write tickets all day long at $1,500 to $2,000 and never pick up the phone, we'd be delighted. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that you always got to be constantly raising your game.
Yeah.
And there are some niches that I think are attractive where that's a component of it. But again, it's just something that, you know, you could hire out. We're certainly going to hire out at it. You know, we're not going to be making the calls ourselves.
Okay.
So it's going to come with an associated cost. So you have to have the margins. But, you know, we've been fortunate and been able to land some unique distributors, particularly where we have sole distribution capabilities for North America for some people. Mm-hmm. And so it's clearly worth our while to pursue this strategy.
Okay.
So how did I do? How does that sound?
That's good. Yeah. It's so there's a lot I can do before I even get on the phone to kind of close the sale. So that's really
absolutely
me.
That's the goal. You know, my definition of passive income is if it has to be done and I don't have to do it and I make money, that's passive income. So, you know,
yeah,
I feel you.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to solve for exactly you want to solve. Mm-hmm. Maybe not for the same reasons, right. But you know, the reality is that you want to put these systems and processes in place.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you, Ryan, that it's just shocking to me, being in the investment world in my day job, that in the website world, you know, you can still find niches where the websites, you and I would both agree that the websites are subpar. They don't have the best, you know, page on the internet for the product or the collection or the brand.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot you can do. You know, will this be this way in 5 years from now? I don't know. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
But the opportunity is today, and you know, it's real. It's certainly real.
Okay.
And by the way, if you've ever shopped for something that's relatively expensive and been frustrated because you haven't been able to get the information either, you know, on the site or through email interacting with somebody, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I'll just end my diatribe with the number one place that people try to return products that they purchase from is Home Depot. So, you know, we know from a customer service standpoint that while they imbue trust that people purchase, which drives us crazy, that we get a lot of people that try to return things through us because we do a great job in customer service.
Yeah.
And our people are, you know, niche specialists and can answer questions. But, you know, unfortunately, we didn't make the sale and we're not going to let people return to us.
Okay. Great. Well, that was really helpful, Ian. Put a lot of my fears to rest. So,
what did I miss?
Thanks.
Did I miss anything?
I don't think so. I mean, I feel a lot better. So, I think.
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, and I'd be interested to hear. You know, when you're pitching yourself as a service,
mm-hmm.
It would seem to me that you're going to be interviewed. You're going to have, you know, almost every sale is going to be an interview.
Right.
And you know, at least on the product side, you know, you can go a lot by what you do on your site.
Mm-hmm.
It very well may be that, you know, it actually has more personal interaction when you're selling a service. I know that when I'm looking for somebody like you and I are talking, that chemistry is really important.
Right.
So,
right. You got to believe that's in what you're selling. So,
yeah, I was just going to say, maybe that's not as threatening.
Yeah.
As getting on the phone every day with somebody and you know, look, we certainly have our fair share of people that are irate for some reason or difficult,
right.
Or at least difficult. But mm-hmm. you know, more and more that becomes a minimum, and you know, it's not that frequent. But it is what it is.
Okay, great. Well, this was really helpful, Ian. Thank you so much, and I guess we'll see you next week. for another episode.
Okay, Ryan, look forward to it. Enjoy Merry England. I hope the weather cooperates with you there, you know.
As much as it can in England.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So thanks much. Cool. Look forward to catching up with you later.
For sure. Me too. All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Ian Bond of Professional Website Investors. He shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on several ways to build trust with your buyers and how all these strategies increase the likelihood of closing the sale. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes at professionalwebsiteinvestors.com. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Professional Website Investor Podcast.